Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is July 28th, 2014, and you are listening to Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen and Rebecca. I'm Reverend Jennifer Hope Kotler, and we are so excited, Rebecca Stevens and I, to be on the live tonight, and we're hoping that you will join the conversation. We are so blessed to have Jason Herod on the show with us tonight, but before we get started, I just want to give everybody our call-in number, and you're welcome to call in at any point in the show if you have a question for me or a question for Rebecca or a question for Jason, who I'm going to let Rebecca introduce in just a minute. Our call-in number is area code 646-716-9397, 646-716-9397. We're so excited that you're listening to us on Blog Talk Radio on the Life Coach Radio Network. As many of our regular listeners know, I am a spiritual life and leadership coach, and you can find out more about me, Jen, and the work that I do at my website, which is www.seedspiritualcoaching.com. That's S-E-E-D, spiritualcoaching.com. And you also are welcome to like us on Facebook, right, Rebecca? Rebecca set up a fabulous page for us. So you need to go like us on Facebook at Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen and Rebecca. And as I said, our special guest tonight is Jason Herod. And Rebecca, why don't you introduce Jason?
Hey, definitely. So Jason Herod is a singer-songwriter. He lives in New York City. He is a Chris Austin songwriting competition winner, which if you know anything about Merlefest, you know that that's a huge deal. And let's see, he grew up in Durham, North Carolina. I'm currently in North Carolina right now, so we actually had the opportunity to hang out a little bit before he went back to New York after Wild Goose. I also got the chance to meet his parents, which I'm going to talk a little bit more about later. So welcome Jason Herod, and thank you so much for chatting with us tonight for a whole hour. That's great.
Hi. Good to be here.
Hi. Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
So I have tons of questions. As you know, a lot of our listeners know that maybe don't know, I am also a musician. I'm the director of family music ministries at the First Presbyterian Church in the city of New York. As of September the 2nd of this year, I will also be a seminarian at Union Theological Seminary. So what I'm really interested about Jason is that not only is he this like amazing singer-songwriter who writes these beautiful, contemplative, sometimes heartbreaking songs, but he's also a church music leader at Dwell, downtown New York City. And Jason, can you tell us a little bit about Dwell and how, like, what in your career led you to take a position like that?
Well, it just kind of seemed like a good fit. I was attending the church, and the pastor is Peter Armstrong, and I had met Pete at a music festival on Orcas Island, one of the San Juan Islands off the coast of Seattle, off the coast of Washington State, and he had mentioned that he was going to be planning a church in New York City, and we kind of kept in touch, and then when they actually got started, I started going there, attending. And, you know, one thing led to another, and I became the music director there, and it's been great.
How long have you been there?
I want to say, like, almost 2 years.
And how does that affect, because you've been playing music, like, as your career, your entire adult life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Various, you know, various settings and formats. And so I'm wondering, having, you know, this sort of regular job affects in
yeah.
good way or not so much in a good way, you know, what you do as a freelance musician.
Right. Well, I think it's mainly a good thing. I mean, my main vocation is being a singer-songwriter and writing my songs and performing them, and I've been doing that a long time. I did it first as part of a duo, Herod and Funk. Brian and I played together close to 10 years, and we put out 3 CDs together, and then as a solo artist, I just released my third album, and you know, we can talk about that too. But the church is good because it offers some stability, and you know, it is some stability, some structure, some community. It's kind of forced me to grapple with my faith a little bit more and to kind of take a stand, you know, as a Christian, which I think was a good thing for me because I struggle with doubt my whole life and I probably still will, but it just kind of made me step up a little bit and say, okay, this is who I am. And you know, it's a good thing. And just, you know, on a purely musical and performance level, it puts me in front of people every week or, you know, almost every week. And that's been good for, you know, performance. It's been good. It's developed my musical skills. It's developed my leadership skills. You know, kind of getting comfortable telling people what to do, which is kind of a strange thing for me. I'm kind of a consensus person, and I'm kind of a, you know, I don't know. I like to see what different people want to do. But, yeah.
Well, I'm curious, you know, you've done years and years of performing in secular venues, and I'm curious how you find, you know, performing, you know, say at a music festival different from doing a Sunday, let's see, Dwell meets on Sunday evening, you know, on Sunday evening to a congregation as part of a church service. What are the differences there?
I think that, you know, performing my own music, it's more personal. I mean, there's definitely a spiritual aspect to it, it's more, you know, whereas leading, you know, leading worship, it's more of, it's less about me, it's more about, hopefully it's like all about God and all about the community and, you know, there is a performance aspect to it, which is kind of strange, actually. And I'm not quite comfortable with that. Like the
do you call it a performance? Like when you say like I'm performing at church tonight? Do you say like I'm performing at church or I'm? Like,
no,
how
I would
do
never
you articulate.
No, I would never say that. I'm just saying that, but there is a performance aspect to it, It's a little uncomfortable to negotiate that and to just like there's a performance aspect to preaching, you know.
I was just thinking that same thing, Jason. I think that's probably a common struggle among pastors who do this on an ongoing basis and stand in the pulpit because there is a performance aspect to preaching. Of course, you're delivering the good news, and it's also spiritual, and it's also worshipful. But yeah, I think you kind of are hitting that. You certainly, for me as a preacher, are hitting that kind of spot on in your assessment of what that feels like for you to participate in worship.
I lost my place. Sorry. Well, okay, so here's another question. Do you play original music in church, or
sometimes
you do? Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. It's mainly like as an offertory or as like special music, but kind of stepping into and getting more comfortable writing stuff for corporate worship, which is another weird animal, and I'm not quite comfortable with it, but I want to get comfortable with it. I want to write more stuff for corporate worship, and I think it's harder because the stuff I write for myself, again, it's more personal, and it's also I think stuff for corporate worship has to be a little simpler, and like I'm still trying to figure that out. Because I mean, if you look in a hymnbook, that stuff is not necessarily simple or like singable by today's standards. And that's one problem I have. When I first ever considered leading worship, I just thought there's no way I can ever do this. You know, contemporary worship music sucks, and I do think a lot of it sucks. I mean, it's kind of lowest common denominator, music, I'm trying to write like corporate worship music of substance. I'm not sure, it's easy to criticize, but then it's another thing to say, well, can you do better? And I'm not sure that I can, yet, but I would like to try.
Amen.
I think
it's really exciting that you're willing to step up and try to create some music with the kind of substance that I would love to see present in more of the praise music that we sing in contemporary worship.
Yeah. And I do have to say, a lot of stuff that I used to turn my nose up at, once I learned it and got into it, I developed a new appreciation for it.
That's interesting. So let's talk about Jason Herod's music. So first of all, you had an album come out recently, not like yesterday, but in the past year. And it's a beautiful album. I've been listening to it this last week, and it's just beautiful. The music is, it does sound very personal, and I think people appreciate that. Can you tell us, first of all, about the album as far as where people can get it? And just more about, where people can sort of, like, talk to you and get in touch with you about getting a hold of your music.
Well, thanks for saying the nice things about it. It's the best place to get it is music.jasonherod.com, and they can stream it or download it. You can also get it on iTunes and stream it on Spotify. But yeah, the best place for me, for people to get it is music.jasonherod.com, and they can order physical copies and have LPs too.
That's cool.
And I have a website, which I'm in the process of updating. There's going to be a new jasonherod.com up soon, I hope.
Okay.
And I'm really happy with the record. I think it took me a long time to make. I'm a perfectionist, I'm realizing. It was kind of painstaking, like just letting go and putting it out there, but I think the writing and the singing and the performing is better than ever. If that doesn't sound
I mean, I think that's true.
I don't want to toot my own horn, but I think it turned out well, and I recorded it down in Philadelphia with this guy Brian McTeer. He's worked with like Sharon Van Etten and Dr. Dog,
That's awesome. Like on a practical level, you know, how do you raise money to do something like that? I mean, what was your approach? Because you also made a music video and you know, and this is like a really professionally produced album, lots of instrumentation. You know, how was all of this funded?
I got a grant from a foundation called the Speranza Foundation, and they, you know, they support the arts. They also do they have a charitable arm. So it was partially funded through a grant, and then it was partially funded through a Kickstarter campaign that I did.
Mm-hmm. And did you have everything written before you applied for the grant and you did the Kickstarter? Was you know, was everything kind of put together and then all you needed was the money?
I don't know exactly. What do you mean?
I mean,
I think what Rebecca's asking is, did you have all the material written? Did you know exactly what it was that you were wanting to put together on this project and just were sort of waiting for the funds to go ahead with it, or?
Yeah, for the most part, yeah. I mean, I definitely had all the songs written.
How many did you record, and how many made the album? I mean, I know how many made, but did you have to cut anything or?
No, we did. There's 11 songs on it.
So you didn't record anything other than those 11 songs?
Right. I don't think so. I'm trying to remember. I don't think we didn't. You know, we put everything on the album that we recorded. Yeah.
So let's talk about Jen, do you want to give the call-in information?
I do. I'm waiting for just the right moment to jump in. It's all good. This is great. Great conversation. Thank you so much, Jason. Just want to remind everybody that you are listening to Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen and Rebecca. We are here every second and fourth Monday night of the month at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time, and our guest call-in number from wherever you are is in the U.S. It's 1-646-716-9397. That's 646-716-9397. So, Rebecca, I know you had some more questions that you wanted to get in for Jason, but, you know, we really have been appreciating this conversation. And I'm hoping that some of our listeners will call in and ask some of the questions that are on their hearts and minds tonight.
Yeah, well, I do too, because I had all, I told Jason that before this that, nothing was, I was nothing is off the table. You know, we're going to ask really tough questions.
You better have some
questions.
But then I was like, maybe that's too mean. So I feel like people need to call in and give him the really tough questions that I really want to ask. So I don't have to be the one who's asking the tough questions.
I'm interested to find out about you guys too. I want to find out what your plans are for your,
For the show.
No, I want to find out what you're excited about for the upcoming year.
Nice.
Oh, wow, this
Jen
is nice.
Has a lot to say about that. Get guests who start to ask us questions. So
that's
yeah.
Right.
It's great. We love to be in the
Well, yeah, Jen and I both have a lot coming up this year. I mean, Jen, you should probably. You should probably talk about that. You want to talk about that?
Sure.
Go for it.
Where Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen and Rebecca is based is online, so it doesn't matter where either of us are at any point in time. Actually, Rebecca's right now. She's in North Carolina. I'm coming to you from New York. The next time that we are on the air It will be a taped show on August 11th. We've got Troy Bronsink, who is an artist and a pastor in Cincinnati, Ohio, who's going to be joining us on the air on that Monday night. It's going to be a taped show, primarily because I will have been driving a moving van all day. So my husband and I are relocating from New York to Geneva, Illinois, which means we'll be driving a lot on Sunday the 10th of August after his last Sunday in the pulpit here at First Presbyterian Church in Katona. And we will spend the night somewhere probably in Pennsylvania before we drive the moving van the rest of the way on Monday the 11th. So unfortunately, when you hear our next show, it will have been taped. I know it's going to be a great show. Troy is a fascinating guy. He has been doing some really outstanding work on retreats as well as pastoring a church. He's a Presbyterian pastor in Cincinnati, Ohio, and so I'm really excited about that. And then on the 25th of August, we're going to have Doug Padgett, who is the founding pastor at Solomon's Church in Minneapolis, Minnesota, which is a fascinating emergent church worshiping community there that he has been working with for a number of years now and is now the founding director of Convergence, which is a new movement of within progressive Christianity, trying to help us sort of move the conversation forward around what is spirituality? What is Christianity? What does it mean to be a progressive Christian? What does that look like, both in our spirituality and our ecclesiology? Basically, what does a church look like in an emergent or progressive Christian movement? And so I'm really excited to be having Doug on the air. That'll be our next live show on August 25th, and folks will be welcome to call in as you are tonight. Our call-in number is 646-716-9397, and we do have a caller, so I'm going to bring them live on the line, and if you just let us know who you are, where you're calling from, and if you have a question or a comment and want to join the conversation, you're welcome.
Hey, hi. Can you hear me?
Hi. Yep.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, I'm Garrett, and I'm calling from Indianapolis. And hi, Jason. I just want to say
hey.
Hi.
What's
hey.
Up?
So there's actually some pretty significant history just in my love for your music. And my wife and I have listened to you since pretty much 17 years of marriage. First 2 years of our marriage, much of your music, especially with Brian, was very much a soundtrack of those first 2 years. And for about 19 years, I did a Christian campus ministry in various places throughout the country. And
any questions?
And I tell you what, during that time, I really spent a lot of time in my ministry really wrestling with a lot of doubt. But I would say more than doubt, I would say thoughtfulness. I think there's sometimes those things crisscross. But listening to your music, which was introduced to me by one of my former students, who is from Wheaton, by the way, there is a certain tinge in there that really, really, I felt spoke on behalf of people like myself a bit. I think there was a bit of an anthem feel to your music as far as what I was kind of facing in my life, what I was trying to do in my ministry, trying to discover what exactly am I trying to accomplish here and what do I really believe and what does all this really mean? How do I interpret everything going on around me? And I just love the thoughtfulness of your lyrics and your themes. And obviously you read a lot, and I could really tell that in your lyrical content. And it was just thoughtful. And I felt like Dreams of the Colorblind was, in my opinion, one of the most phenomenal albums I've ever heard. It really still is to me today. And when I discovered that, I just really felt like I found a jewel. And then following you guys from there on after, and even some of your solo career, Jason, has been fantastic. So I definitely did feel in a lot of your music that there was a faith that you had embraced most of your life that felt like you were really detaching from it, or at least trying to. It was really difficult for you to. And I can relate to that.
Detached from what?
Your face a bit. That's what it felt like in some of your music, just kind of a weariness of it. And, again, I could kind of come alongside that, whether you intended that or not. You know, I just, just existentially speaking, I would just kind of come along with that.
Record? Have you heard the new record?
I've not yet.
Dude,
I've,
you got to hear it.
Absolutely do. And so I'm kind of coming back into this. And I guess my question for you is, well, here's the deal, man. So you're on staff, right, in a church. Okay, I just left campus ministry after 19 years, and now I'm on a creative career now. It's what I do. Mm-hmm. And that's, so you and I are kind of like ships passing tonight. So it's a little weird. I'm leaving the ministry. You're just kind of emerging into that. And I think just as we kind of pass each other by, I'm just curious, like, you know, at what point maybe in your young adulthood or adulthood did you find yourself, I don't know, diving more headlong into your faith? And I'm sure it's a different kind of faith you grew up with, but what was that? What's the point?
Yeah.
What happened? What was the process for you?
Ooh, that's a great question. Thank you for the call.
Yeah,
sure.
Thanks, Garrett. That is a good question. I mean, I think that really it's just been recent. That I am kind of, oh man, how to answer this? No, I did give this some thought so that I would be able to give this kind of question a decent answer. But I mean, I never abandoned my faith. Actually, there was a little story about me on the Christianity Today website. And I think I said on there that I flirted with the idea of taking a leap of doubt. You know, that is like kind of just deciding that God didn't exist and I was going to live my life as if he didn't exist. And I think in some ways that could have been good for me, because I do think that I think grace does give Christians can give Christians an excuse to like not live moral lives, you know, or not, I think Paul even says that in the Bible, you know, should I sin more so that grace may abound or something like that. And, you know, I thought, you know, I know atheists who live much more upright lives than a lot of Christians I know.
Mm-hmm.
And, I just thought, you know, I flirted with that idea, but, and then on that little post, there were people who were saying like, oh, I hope Jason will do that. You know, I want him to be, I can tell he's like struggling. I can tell he's not free, and I want him to, you know, experience freedom. So I hope he's going to take a leap of doubt. And, you know, but I don't think I can do it, because I don't think you can run from who you are. And I think I am, this is who I am. And I think God is calling me. And I think God is, God has called me, and he's in me. You know, God exists, you know, in me, and me in him, and I can't escape it. And, you know, the question is like, but I do think my faith is, you know, I think I'm on a journey, and I don't know where the end point is going to be, and I'm sure that it's going to look, you know, my faith will, I kind of hope it looks different than it has in the past few years. You know, I feel like I'm growing up. In the past few years, I'm growing up, and I don't know where my faith journey is ultimately going to lead, but I'm kind of excited to find out.
Yeah.
Great, Garrett. Great, Jason. I mean, I think that, you know, so many of us, and you know, I know, too, from the folks who I know who listen to the show, are struggling with this as well. I mean, we have a whole lot more questions than we have answers, and we're wrestling with, you know, who God is and who God is calling us both individually and as a community to be in the world. And that's, you know, part of the reason why this show exists. So I really appreciate, thank you so much for calling, Garrett, and for appreciate having you on the show. I hope you'll listen again and encourage your friends to call in. So thank you so much.
Yeah. Sure. Good talking again.
So Jason, that's I would guess that that's pretty humbling when you have those kinds of conversations where people are really, you know, appreciative of your work and the way in which your ministry has continued to really affect them in ways that, you know, you may or may not know.
Yeah, it does. It is. It feels good. It's nice.
It is nice. That was really, like, he had a lot of really nice things to say. That was awesome.
Yeah.
That was awesome. Thanks.
Yeah.
I've got to remind people of the call-in number. If you're interested in calling in, you have a question, our call-in number is 646-716-9397. It's 646-716-9397. So,
Yeah. So, Jason, I wanted to talk a little bit about your songwriting process. And I, like the last caller said, you know, obviously you read a lot, and your songwriting is, you know, I would guess that it's pretty autobiographical, although I'm wondering, you know, is there anything in your songwriting that is sort of scary to talk about? You know, do you have things that you just don't write about? Is there sort of, you know, something that gets you inspired that you like to write about the most?
Great question, Rebecca.
No, I don't think I try to just there's nothing really that I'm not, you know, willing to write about.
Where does the process start for you? I mean, where does the songwriting process start?
Well, I have a notebook, and I try to just always, like, have it with me, and if something strikes me, write it down. And, you know, I have, like, a million scraps of paper with stuff written down. And I probably have, like, a million, dozens of beginnings, and the hard part for me is figuring out how to end it, how to tie it together and make a completed song. And it's kind of a long process. I feel like stuff simmers a long time. And there's also something to be said for discipline, and I'm learning how to be more disciplined in my craft. And I have chord progressions, and I kind of, you know, I play a chord progression over and over, and kind of a melody will kind of insinuate itself, and it'll kind of like hum a melody, and maybe a phrase will kind of start to like take shape where that, you know, that melody and a phrase will kind of go together, and I might go from there, you know.
Yes.
We have another caller, so I want to bring them on and invite them to join the conversation. If you'd let us know who you are and where you're calling from, and give us your question or your comment.
Hi, is this me on the air?
You are
Hi,
on the air.
Yes. Okay, so Jason, this is Caroline. I contacted you on Facebook. We've had a couple messages. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm all right. So the reason I'm calling in is I'm just going to kind of give like a little bit of just an observation of how, you know, Christianity aside, any religion, whatever it is, I heard Jason for the first time about 5 months after my husband died, and my name's Caroline, and Jason sings this beautiful song called Carolina,
yes.
And it came out in the first day that I was really willing to venture into our closet and do a little, like, you know, be around his clothes and do a little organizing, and I put Pandora on, and boom, comes his song Carolina, and it just took my breath away. And I just think that is, like I said, regardless of what religion you are, that's grace right there. The fact that I was ready to open that closet, and then that song came on. My husband called me Lina. He also called me Caroline because he had a French accent. And so that song just reminded me of how, and because the song says over and over again, I love you still. So it really spoke to me, and you know, Jason, that's not why you wrote it. You wrote it about North Carolina. I totally get it. It's not about me. But that, to me, is what beautiful music, poetry, books, stories do for you. And when you're open to the grace, so for you, singing is your way. And for me, just ever since my husband died, I've sort of been unleashed in terms of, like, looking for connection and in a wonderful way. And that's what it was for me. So I'm just calling to comment and say that that really changed so much of our trajectory. My kids and I listen to it in the car. We sing along. And it feels like he's speaking to me through you, which I know isn't how the song came about. But isn't that what, whether you're Christian, Muslim, Jewish, whatever you're doing, isn't that what we're doing it for, to reach out and touch people's hearts? So I just wanted to comment on that.
That is so beautiful.
Yeah, thanks for saying that.
Well, I definitely, a lot of people around me now know who Jason Herod is.
Good, yay.
So, anyways, we'll carry on, and, you know, I think it's great.
I love Pandora, too. I love
that. It's kind of magical.
Caroline, I hope to see you soon. I'm coming up your way. I'm playing in, I got a couple gigs in Massachusetts coming up.
Yeah, I know you have something in Gloucester, but I look forward to meeting you at some point, and I'm just so grateful for your music, and, you know, just carry on with the show. I just wanted to call in and comment.
Thanks.
Oh, thank you so much.
Take care.
Yeah, isn't that true that this is what music is about, and this is what faith for so many of us is about, is, you know, creating community and touching one another's hearts and holding each other in ways that, first of all, we would never expect that we could do.
Yeah.
And really, you know, and for us, I think, as Christians, it's trusting in the Spirit that when, you know, we create something, that it will touch people on a really deep level. And I you know, talk about humbling. Wow, Jason, that's pretty incredible.
I know.
So awesome.
Yeah.
I find that as a musician, like, I'm always wanting my music to really, really mean something and to be really deep. And, you know, hearing a call like that reminds us that sometimes it's not about, you know, what we see as being deep and meaningful, but how others perceive it. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's really important. I've been listening to a lot of Pete Seeger lately, actually, because, you know, he just passed away, and there have been a lot of tribute concerts. And I kind of find that with his music, like, he wasn't really most of his music didn't talk about, you know, any kind of specific faith. But, I mean, you can't tell me that Pete Seeger is not spiritual music. And, I mean, at least that's how I perceive it. And so I think, you know, she really articulated that really well, and I appreciate that. And I hope, Jason, that you hear that, because that I think a lot of musicians struggle with that. I don't know if you do, but I definitely do, and I hope that, you know, that she can really inspire other musicians, too, to remember that music means something different to everyone, and that's really awesome. Yeah. So with your songwriting, So I was going to say that recently I was actually at your house, at your parents' house, and you and I had a really fun evening. Your parents are the most lovely people in the world. They are
adorable.
Yeah,
they sure are. They really are.
They are amazing. And I hope they're listening right now, and if they are, hi, Kathy and Bruce. And it was a real, like, gift for me to be able to sort of see that side of you. And I love meeting people's family, because I think that it's part of their story, and stories are really important to me. But one of the things we did that night, which I thought was just, it made me feel really at home because it's something that my family does as well, was that we all sat around together and played music together. And that was really special for me. And I'm wondering, you know, if you can tell, you know, our listeners how your family interacts musically, how you came about as a musician through your family, you know, how you interacted musically growing up and that kind of thing.
Well, it's funny. The most musical member of my family is my grandmother, my mom's mom, who was from Marion, North Carolina, and she, you know, she grew up loving and she grew up playing guitar. And, you know, when I was a little guy, I remember her playing the guitar, and she had this real kind of low, like, alto voice, and she would sing. And then, I mean, all my family can sing, even though they would protest and say that that's not true. But, and then my dad, you know, he sings, and, you know, sings, like, bass and in the choir, and, you know, grew up just like my dad, my sister, my grandmother. I don't think my mom ever sang, you know, in front of people, but, you know, just singing in the church, and that was always a big part of our life, just singing in the church.
Mm-hmm. So how much do you pull from that as, like, as an adult? Like, I guess I'm asking the kinds of songs that you sang growing up. Did that influence your songwriting and your approach to music now?
Yeah. I mean, I think those hymns they just, you know, the hymns we sang in church just seeped into my, like, bloodstream. I mean, I think they're in me, you know, and. Definitely, you know, it's kind of like my musical education, and
yeah,
have other influences. I mean, I was heavily influenced by Neil Young and the Beatles and just stuff I read, and Bruce Coburn.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just the way he kind of expressed, again, bringing it back to faith, the way he writes about his faith and such, using imagery and beautiful
right.
images. And
yeah.
So I just want
also,
to thank everybody, Rebecca, of our call-in number. Remind them that they're listening to Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen and Rebecca. We are here every second and fourth Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time, and always available in the archive. So if you can't listen to us live, can't call in, our call-in number is 646-716-9397. That's 646-716-9397. You can always find us on our website, off of our Facebook page, or on my website, which is seedspiritualcoaching.com, and there is a Spiritually Speaking page where all of our shows are in the archives, and you can download us on iTunes. So I can't imagine how many people cannot find us. We're easily found. Jason, I really appreciate, you know, sort of your understanding of sort of where all of this comes together for you, both from pop music and popular culture, as well as the being raised in the church and your grandmother and the kind of the songs and the hymns that you sang. So where do you where you place yourself sort of now as a musician? And you've made a career of this your adult life, which is not easily done, and not something that a lot of people are able to do. So I appreciated when Caroline called in, and you know, she found you on Pandora. So how has it been that you've been able to sort of create this career
I mean, honestly, if I have a weak point as a person making a living as a musician, it's the business side and it's the promotion side. And, you know, I struggle with, like, performance anxiety and, like, or, you know, have. And I think it's kept me historically perhaps for going after everything I want. And I feel like, just like I said, I'm kind of growing up a little bit. I think part of that is, like, realizing, like, oh, man, okay, I'm 42. I don't really have any more time to waste. And I'm going to start, you know, I'm not gonna hold myself back. You know, or at least I'm going to try not to hold myself back. And, you know, but all to say, though, I never stopped. I mean, I just kept doing it. And I guess I kept showing up, you might say.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I hope I will keep showing up and just keep playing. And you know, I've got gigs coming up I'm excited about. And
well, yeah, talk about where you're playing.
Yeah, talk about where you're playing. That folks can connect with you there.
Yeah, well, so the best, you know, the best place to find out about my gigs is jasonherrod.com. Even though it's kind of outdated because it's a big, you know, it uses Flash and people can't see it on their phones or whatever. But anyway, I'm pretty active on Facebook. I guess my next gig proper is I'm opening up for this duo, Jimmy and Tyler. I guess they're kind of a big deal. Anyway, that's in Gloucester, Mass. And then I'm playing in Burlington, Vermont the day after, on the 23rd. I'm also doing a songwriting workshop up there.
That's awesome.
So you can find out more about that at jasonherrod.com. Some of these dates might not be up yet, but they will be soon. And then, let's see, I'm doing a house concert. I do a lot of house concerts. I'm doing a house concert on September 20th in Greenwich, Connecticut. And then I got a little tour happening at the end of September, beginning of October, you know, playing like Philly, D.C., North Carolina, Chicago, Michigan. Anyway, that's still shaping up, but it's...
And people can see that on jasonherrod.com.
Yeah.
The list of your shows coming up. You lived in Boston for a while, and now you live in New York. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about, I think people would agree that moving to New York as a musician and being able to live there and play music for a living is pretty, pretty awesome, and maybe a little bit crazy. And but you're doing it. Like, you're, like, doing the damn thing, which I think is really awesome. And can you tell our listeners, you know, what that's like? Like, what is Jason here behind the scenes playing, you know, career musician?
Yeah, and living in New York is, it just feels like kind of an accomplishment in itself just to not die or something. And the crowning glory of New York is also what makes it so maddening, and that is the people. And, you know, there's like just tons and tons of people, like wall to wall and elbow to elbow, and you see and brush up against so many different kinds of people, and it can be really energizing and exciting. And, you know, as a writer, I really find just like getting on the subway, you know, to leave and come back every day is just really like energizing and exciting. And, you know, I pull out my notebook and I watch people, and, you know, it's fun, but it's also like exhausting. I'm either like, it's utterly exhausting, and, it is a really crazy place to live. I mean, it's fun. You know, I sold my car. You know, I walk or I take the subway everywhere. And I'm not sure I'll be here long term, but I also really love it. And
what do you find is the biggest advantage to being in New York as opposed to being in a, like, sort of a secondary market like Boston?
I could do what I do anywhere, with an airport. I really think the biggest advantage is just there are so many creative people here, and I feel like it's really fun and inspiring to kind of interact with so many creative people. I want to play here more, and you know, that's a goal of mine, to play concerts in New York more. I tend to play more outside the city, but yeah, it's just all the creative types, you know, the artists and actors and dancers and writing plays and one-woman shows and all kinds of stuff, you know.
Yeah, no, there's great, great creative energy in New York. Yeah, I mean, it's been such a fun place to live for the last 3 years. So, you know, we're coming down to our last 10 minutes. And so I just want to remind folks of our call-in number, which is 646-716-9397. If you have any last questions, comments for Jason, we'd love to have that. I'm wondering, Jason, if you have something that you might want to share with us before you leave, musically or otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Pulling out my guitar here.
I hear the zipper. Is that the zipper? Are you unzipping your case?
For our listeners to have some experience of you and the kind of music that you do.
Well, I'll play this song. Now, this is me playing this over my cell phone. So I don't know how good it's going to sound. I'm not exactly sure where to place it, but. This is a song I recently put on SoundCloud, and it's based on Psalm 34. It's called Come See the Beauty of the Lord. Uh-oh. This guitar has not been tuned. Let me tune this guitar real quick. Jen, why don't you say something?
Okay. Well, Jason is getting ready, and we'll close out the show with Jason's song. I just want to remind everybody to listen to the second and fourth Monday of the month on Blog Talk Radio and the Life Coach Radio Network to Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen and Rebecca. I'm Reverend Jennifer Hope Cutler. My co-host is Rebecca Stevens. And our next show on August the 11th will feature Troy Bronsink, who's a creative artist as well as a Presbyterian pastor in Cincinnati, Ohio. And then our next show after that on August 25th will feature Doug Padgett, who's a pastor and a leader in progressive emergent Christianity. So it's been so great. I just want to say, Jason, it has been so wonderful to have you on. And
yeah, thank you.
To learn more about Jason, you know, jasonherod.com. If you want to listen to this show in its entirety, its archived version is available on my website, which is Seed, S-E-E-D, spiritualcoaching.com. And like us on Facebook, Rebecca, like us at Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen and Rebecca.
Yep.
So, Jason, did I talk long enough to give you enough time to get the guitar thing?
Hopefully. Okay, here we go.
Come see the beauty of the Lord. Come see the beauty of the Lord. Save and see set you free from the grave of heaven, Lord. Bows down, raise me up. Bows down, raise me up. Erase Come through the darkness, light. Come through the darkness, light. Raise your face, let it be.
Available on SoundCloud, Jason?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I just posted it on our Facebook. So if you wanted to see it, you can just... And also, all the other links that we talked about tonight are on the Spiritually Speaking Facebook page, including the link to the article from Christianity Today.
Great.
So anybody that wants to go read more, hear more, see more about what we've talked about tonight... you can find it on our Facebook page, Spiritually Speaking, with Reverend Jen and Rebecca.
Well, I just wanted to thank you both for having me, and it's been fun. And Rebecca, look forward to seeing you back in New York.
Yeah, man, we're going to play some music together. It's going to be good.
Yes, and
yeah.
I'm sad, Jen, I'm sad you're leaving New York.
Yeah.
I hope you like Geneva.
Thank you. They'll be back. They'll be back. This Geneva thing is just a phase.
Yeah, well, we are definitely rolling stones and we gather no moths. So we'll be moving on, but we will stay connected. And everyone, we will still be here on the second and fourth Mondays of the month. And it's a blessing. And Jason, I so appreciate you coming on the show tonight. Garrett and Caroline, thank you for calling in.
We're
really looking forward to our next couple of shows. And it's just, you know, it's an exciting time to be being about God's work in many different and really exciting ways. So, and I'm just glad to be a part of that. And Jason, I just have to give a shout out to Jason, who I got to see and hear at the Wild Goose Festival in Hot Springs, North Carolina about a month ago.
Yeah.
And
it was fun.
That was awesome. We had a great time. And looking forward to next year's Wild Goose Festival at a time to be named later. We're not exactly sure when yet, but as soon as we know, we'll be putting that out on the airwaves as well. So last words, Rebecca, Jason, before we sign off tonight.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you, Jason. You're an inspiration to a lot of people, and I'm privileged and honored to know you and to know your family, and I hope to hear more music from you, lots more music from you.
Well, thank you. Likewise.
Thanks.
Thanks, everyone.
Good night, everybody. Thanks for listening.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Good night.
Bye.